Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat. Coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Wednesday, and as you can see behind me, I am in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is a beautiful day in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and holy cow, they are not kidding around with this draft footprint. The fence has gone up across Lombardi Avenue. You can see here behind my left shoulder, some of the tents that have gone up throughout the entire kind of breadth and width of the draft experience and or campus. Just to my right is the stage, and it is ginormous. And they have another kind of mini stage right next to it. It is impressive, and it is not even close to done yet. But we are now, what, 8 days away? A week from tomorrow night? Very exciting times here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Cannot wait to watch the draft along with all of you. If you're unable to make it in Green Bay, yes, we will be having our live stream both Thursday and Friday night, as we do each and every year. Hope to see you there. And if you're in this area, if you're in Wisconsin, if you're in Appleton, Green Bay, in the environs around, make sure you come on out to the Timber Rattlers game tomorrow night, draft and craft night with myself and Andy Herman. You can get tickets in a link in the description of this video, starting there at 6:40 p.m. pregame draft talk and meet and greet with myself and Andy. We'll be talking all things green and gold, including, obviously, the draft and who we think makes sense for the Green Bay Packers to pick. Hope you can make it out. And I hope you can make it out next week, 1 week from tonight, Cheesehead TV's NFL Draft Meetup at Stage 1, Wednesday, April 23rd, from 8 to 11 p.m., carry the G on special. We got some giveaways for you and some special Packers guests milling about throughout the evening. Really hope you can make it. And if, you know, you maybe are coming, but, you know, can't make it out at night, maybe you're busy, maybe you got to get up early in the morning, you don't want to be out late, etc. We'll be at the mall in Ashwaubenon that afternoon, Wednesday afternoon at 1 p.m., having a mini kind of meet and greet event, a mock draft, on, you know, a bunch of draft talk, so to speak, with myself, Andy. I think Matt Ramage is going to be there, and I believe there's a rumor that Tom Grassi is going to show up. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Tons of stuff going on. That's just scratching the surface. Really cannot wait. Hello to everybody in the comment section. So good to see you all. Hope you're all doing well. Dennis is here, of course. Brandy says, let's develop the draft so we can draft and develop. I mean, that's a way to look at it. No question about it. The draft will be here before we know. We're going to blink our eyes. And it was weird being on a plane this morning thinking about when they announced that Green Bay was going to be getting the draft. Obviously, it was a couple years out. Man, you blink and suddenly it's here. It's kind of crazy. I am very, very excited. Randy says, open to carry the G and play the song. Let's a bit early for some Carry the G for myself today, but hey, you don't have to ask me twice.
Will we carry the G wherever we may be? So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
Get yourself some Carry the G, the official beer of Cheesehead TV. Slider, what's up, man? Nags, airlines have added nonstop flights just because of the draft. If you weren't aware, Delta is running SLC Green Bay, and United is adding extra trips, too. I had read that back, you know, I think last year or something like that. But, man, I'm already here. I'm good to go. I had a ball this morning getting up at 4:30 a.m. to make that flight out of LaGuardia. and I know there are direct flights to Appleton available out of New Jersey now. I can't remember which airline it is, but man, we're getting some easier access up here in Northeast Wisconsin. Good times. Alex, what's going on, man? All right, Goody, who are you thinking to draft in the first round? I mean, a lot of noise around the wide receivers. Had another one in today for the final day of pre-draft visits, but I still suspect it's going to be a defensive tackle. There are a couple different ways that somebody like Kenneth Grant could fall to them. I think that makes a world of sense. That's not to dismiss the possibility of an edge rusher, though I do think the ones that they would consider at 23 will most likely be gone by the time they're on the clock. But, you know, I say all this and they'll take an offensive tackle. Watch them take Banks out of Texas, which I would not hate. I think that'd be a great pick. I know some Packers fans would probably be upset, but I think that would be wonderful. Jennifer, how are you? Thanks for checking out the stream. Is Rodgers really ghosting the Steelers waiting for the Vikings? I mean, there's no way to know for sure, but that's absolutely what it feels like. You know, look, I know there's been all sorts of stuff floated out there from, you know, it's his first time as a free agent, so he wants to take all the time he can, which is his right. But, you know, there's also, oh, he could retire or take a year off, all of which, sure, that could happen. But I think the most likely and most plausible thing is, yeah, exactly what you're saying. He's waiting on the Vikings and seeing maybe they get through their offseason program and J.J. McCarthy is not what they think he is or isn't ready because of the injury coming back from it, etc. And then they make the call. You know, who knows? Maybe we get to the night of the draft, right? And he pulls the trigger and signs with the Steelers. That's entirely possible too. But hey, like I said, he's never been a free agent before. So I can't begrudge the man taking his time and wanting to make the right decision for himself. First time truly that he's ever gotten to pick his team. Not that there are that many on offer, but, you know, I have zero issue with him taking his time. I do find it funny when people complain about it, though. Like, oh, he's taking all this time, blah, blah, blah. It's like, man, you can do whatever you want holding the Steelers hostage. They can go do draft a kid, whatever they want to do at the quarterback position. They are not beholden to Rodgers. Go on, live your life. You're the Steelers, the once proud Pittsburgh Steelers. Suddenly having, what, a crisis because Aaron Rodgers won't sign on the dotted line? I mean, that's the perception that I've seen out there. I don't think that's what's happening inside the building, but yeah, I have no issue, zero issue with Rodgers taking his time. Brandy, thanks for the super chat. Good draft for running backs this year. Packers drafted Lloyd and signed Jacobs. How much of that was planning to have that locked in coming into the 25 draft? It's rarely that it's kind of direct like that, but I do think certainly they knew there was an opportunity there when they signed Jacobs, and they saw value when they drafted Lloyd. All of that said, you know, I love what they've got there in that room. The depth with, you know, everyone behind, you know, Jacobs is really, really good. Talented kids, no doubt about it. Taylor could probably come off his best year as a pro, right? Brooks certainly added more than enough to the mix. But to your point, with the amount of talent on offer in the running back class this year, I wouldn't be surprised if they saw somebody on day three that they really liked late in the draft and they took one. More competition, right? That's what it's all about. So Brian's always preaching. Rai, how are you, man? Halfley would have had a blast with the 2020-2021 Packers defense, Smith brothers, Prime Jair, and Kenny, etc. No doubt about it. There was a lot of talent on offer, especially that 20 squad. You know, obviously it's unfortunate they couldn't close the deal there here at Lambeau, but yeah, that was a really talented team. And you're right, Halfley probably would have cooked up some fun stuff, but hey, he's got talent on offer now. Yeah, there's probably a few more pieces to be added once the draft is come and gone. So, yeah, you're right. He probably would have, but I think he showed last year he knows what's up, and he's gonna continue to have some fun in 2025. Kerry Bishop, how are you, man? Nags, if you want to pick a, quote, playmaker this year, who do you pick? I mean, I've been banging the table for Jaden Higgins for months now. I think he is the perfect Packer addition, a guy who you don't need to come in and be a, quote, number one wide receiver, but he is going to play on the perimeter and see plenty of action if he does become a Packer, and I do think he could contribute right away. Not to say he's going to come in and be Greg Jennings, who, you know, played all three spots right off the bat, etc. I do think he'd probably be brought along slowly like most rookies, but I do think he could contribute. And I think, again, he's a perfect Packers receiver. He's built like one anyway. Savion Williams too. I know that's not a name we've talked a lot about here or that I've heard connected to the Packers much, but really like the idea of him in a Packers uniform as well. I think he's another one who just looks like a Packers receiver, made up like a classic Packers wideout. You know, I doubt this would happen, but Scatabo, maybe the running back, I would love to get him in a Packers uniform. Again, I doubt that happens, but you got to believe that Packers fans would absolutely adore that guy on Sundays. No doubt about it. And I think he's a really good, talented, kind of multidimensional player. You could use in a lot of different ways. Josh, this is a fair question. With the fifth year still in limbo for Quay, is outside linebacker a day two pick? Well, you know, he is probably categorized as an inside backer in the 4-3, given what they're kind of mixing and matching. I think you'll probably see him inside, and even when they're doing the two linebacker things that they like, I would suspect you're going to continue to see Cooper play some Will over Quay, though I think Will is probably Quay's best spot. But that said, you know, there's no way they pull the trigger on his fifth year option, on Quay's fifth year option. Absolutely no way. He'd instantly become one of the top five paid inside linebackers in the league, fully guaranteed. That ain't happening. So there's a possibility that they extend him. But even with that, I'm with you. I do think they'll probably take a look. And if the board falls a certain way and the value is right, it wouldn't surprise me, even though, you know, they just had Isaiah Simmons in, they re-signed Welch for depth, and, you know, they got Tyron Hopper waiting in the wings, a former third round pick last year. You know, it's not like they haven't addressed the position, but if the value is there, add to the competition, wouldn't surprise me. But that said, Brian has said repeatedly how much he likes Quay Walker and what he brings to the defense and how valuable he thinks he can be and will be going forward. I think they want to get an extension done, and I think there's a decent chance that happens this summer prior to the start of camp. And look, I know Quay is a very popular whipping boy on Sundays on Twitter, but I think he's a lot better than many fans believe. And I think you saw glimmers of it towards the end of last season. Especially if you can get him on the field with Cooper, the two of them as running mates, I think you're cooking there. I think there's a lot that they can do together and to elevate each other's game. I'm hoping that's the case here in 2025. Brandy, thanks again. At 464 pounds, Florida's Desmond Watson is intriguing. Bigger TD dance than Raji. I know Brian was actually asked about him at the owners' meetings by Larry McCarron in their one-on-one. I mean, he is obviously intriguing just because of his size and his ability to move. I would suspect he's probably not on the Packers' radar as far as what they're looking for on this defensive front, but never say never. I mean, how many years did we say, oh, they'd never draft an inside backer in the first round, and then they took Quay Walker at, what, 20, 22, something like that? So, yeah, never say never, but I'd be very surprised. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. After the draft, will we win three Super Bowls in a row or just two? Always in motion, the future, as Yoda wisely said. Difficult to see. We'll have to wait. Only time will tell. But that's an excellent question, no doubt about it. Soder. I like where your head's at. Scatabo for the green and gold version of Juszczyk. I could see the vision. You know, not just like the traditional fullback stuff. Obviously, his use in the passing game probably could use him as a move tight end in certain situations. I don't hate it. Again, I doubt the Packers pull that trigger, but I love that idea. But we'll see. Could you imagine, Seattle says, could you imagine the size of the championship belt for Watson? It'd be the whole Rodgers thing would be like, I encompass and I eclipse. It'd be great. Rai, that's a great question. Was the Hopper pick an example of best player available according to the Packers board? Could be, right? It was not a popular pick at the time by most of the draft pundits, as it were. And looking back, got to say, they probably had a point. The guy couldn't even see the field last year and certainly don't see a pathway for a lot of playing time for the young man if people stay healthy this year. You know, I think he can still help. I think he's got a physicality and athleticism that you saw last preseason. I can see the fit, but Yeah, it felt a little rich when the pick was made. And again, maybe to your point that maybe that was just the best guy on their board. I find that hard to believe. It seems like the Packers, this goes back to Ted, it feels like they always have that pick, right? At least one pick that feels so out of left field and people are left scratching their heads. I mean, the Topper was definitely that last year, no doubt about it. Warren Banger, I can't wait for the draft and the Bears still suck. I mean, you could not have said it any better. Soder, you're right. If Hopper makes the jump, the linebacker room looks good. Then that's the key, right? Even if he's not out there, you know, the majority of the snaps, if he can just get in the rotation, where last year we saw a whole lot of McDuffie and Wilson down the stretch when guys got injured, man, you really hope that's Hopper coming off the bench this year, right? And I know they brought McDuffie back, you know, mostly for special teams, but you got to think they like him from scrimmage, given the number of snaps he played last year, his history with Halfley. No doubt they're going to want to lean on that, but hopefully Hopper makes it at least a tougher decision, right? You want to get him on the field, and you're right. Yeah, if, you know, he takes that jump, let's go, man. We'll get some three linebacker sets. You heard Brian talk about that earlier this offseason, being a little bit surprised at how much three linebacker they played last year. So, yeah, hopefully Hopper can, you know, make the case, so to speak, once the pads come on this summer, because that's when it has to happen. Richard, I get the question. Could you see Colby Wooden being moved for a late-round draft pick if he doesn't make the team? Yeah, that's a possibility. I think, you know, most guys are available for the right price. And, yeah, I mean, I assume what you're kind of your line of thinking here is if they select a defensive tackle or even two in this draft, which is a possibility, it's going to make the numbers tough for a guy who really didn't see the field a whole lot last year. Yeah, I think it's a possibility. And look, I know we all love Carl Brooks, but I don't think Brooks is, you know, off the table either. We'll see. You know, who knows? Maybe Wooden comes in with a hair on fire and lights it up in camp and makes it a really tough decision. But I do think, yeah, there's certainly that possibility. The problem there, of course, is more often than not, you get to the end of camp, most teams understand and realize who's going to get cut, right? They have a feeling, and especially if you watch the preseason games and you see who's playing extensively, you know they're either auditioning to make their own team and or they're on the bubble. So you don't really need to pull the trigger on a trade because you know you're going to be able to get him on the street. Now, every once in a while, maybe there's a circumstance where we absolutely think this guy's a perfect fit at the back end of our kind of defensive tackle room, and so let's make sure we get him and we, you know, send a seventh their way. That's entirely possible. But I mean, I do think there's zero doubt that he's going to be in for a fight, even if they don't draft a defensive tackle, which would surprise me. But I do think, yeah, he's in for a fight this summer, no doubt. John, thanks for the super chat, man. Ireland and the Steelers game, no, but Hard Knocks? I said it a couple weeks ago, man. It's a possibility. Now that they've completely changed all of the requirements and who they can compel to do it, if no one offers, which I doubt anyone will, the league has stripped away most of the kind of abilities for teams to say or not be compelled to do it. They could easily say, Green Bay, you're on Hard Knocks. Now, as I said back then, I'd be surprised if after the draft and all the exposure Green Bay's getting, I would suspect they'd probably want to go someplace else if the NFL ends up being the entity picking it. But you never know. You know, they've probably wanted Green Bay on Hard Knocks for a long time. I know Matt LaFleur is no fan of the idea, but if there's this opportunity, maybe they do it. Again, I'll be surprised this kind of soon after the draft, but you never know. We shall see. Brandy, thanks again. I take generational talent with a grain of salt, used way too much these days. Thoughts? Could not agree more, Brandy. Look, there are tons of really talented players, and yes, you know, every draft has guys who are going to be really good in the NFL. Certainly a lot of the first rounders have, you know, really good and high upside. But yes, you are 1,000,000,000% correct. The term generational talent gets thrown around way too much. And I actually haven't seen it egregiously this year. but even last year, because usually it's around the quarterbacks, right? And I don't think anybody's looking at this class like, oh, wow, there's a ton of generational talent on offer. I do think there's some good players, but, you know, anybody who's really good at their position, whether it's Ty Warren, right, this year at tight end, or the running backs, you know, there's a lot of that kind of prisoner of the moment stuff that goes on in the lead up because there's such a long time and you're talking about these guys so much. But yes, I very much agree with you. Ken, thanks for the super chat, man. Welcome back to Wisconsin, Nags. Thanks so much, Ken. Good to see you at happy hour last night and cannot wait to see you next week. Oh, right. That's a great question. Did Rodgers have better chemistry with Adams or Nelson? Man, that's a push. I'd probably say Nelson on balance, like overall, but you can't deny the chemistry he had with either one of them, right? Certainly with Adams when he's feeding them 83% of the time, you know? But I would, on the whole, I would probably give the nod to Nelson. Tulio, how are you, man? What about cornerback? Haven't really looked into the 25 class yet. Is there a 23 possibility? Yeah, I think the Barron, the kid from Texas, is a possibility there. Harrison out of Kentucky. You should get the Cheesehead TV draft guide. You'd know all about those guys. You know what you can do? You can go in the link in the description of this video and get yourself a copy.
Who are the Green Bay Packers going to draft? Find out from the original draft guide by fans for fans. Available from Cheesehead TV for the 15th season in a row. Hundreds of prospects analyzed with an eye towards their fit with the Green Bay Packers. We've got mock drafts, big boards, featured articles, tons of content for you, the Green Bay Packers fan. Get yours today.
Shout out, Tyler. That echo at the end makes me laugh every single time. So yeah, get yourself a draft guide. You got a week to bone up and be the smartest person in the room when the Packers are on the clock. Charlie, thanks for the super chat, man. I'm young. What is the reference you and Corey do when you hum that show theme? Also, is Carry the G in stock or not yet? Yes, Charlie, it's available plenty of places across Green Bay if you're in this area. And some other places across the state of Wisconsin. If you go to the beer tab on CheeseheadTV.com, you'll find our interactive map. And a pretty up-to-date. I'm not going to say every single places still got it in stock, but most of the spots you'll find on that map still will have Carry the G on the shelf. As far as Corey and I humming the show theme, I think this is a reference to when we do the Tonight Show theme. There was a game, I think it was Rodgers last season in Green Bay. Might have been, I think it was the final regular season game against Detroit, where, you know, the offense was hard to watch and they weren't moving the ball. And, you know, Rodgers was putting it at guys' feet and throwing it out of bounds. And I think at one point I just started saying, "The Tonight Show, starring Aaron Rodgers." And I don't know why that hit with us that day. I think we were a little punch drunk and it just was funny for us. Probably no one else, but I couldn't stop doing it. If you go, what's sad is if you can go back and look at the watch party, it's still there. And so ever since then, whenever things are getting tense or bad or whatever, like the Packers are playing poorly, I don't know why, but all of a sudden we start going, "The Tonight Show, star whoever's playing." Good times. Good times. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Programming note, there will not be a Packers Daily tomorrow because I will be down in Appleton, and I'll be going to the Timber Rattlers game, so I'll see you there. Or I'll see you back here on Friday. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.